Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sometimes I, in preparing for Christ the King Sunday and preaching this week, don't always know what to say. Seems pretty straightforward, right? At least for those of us who come to church regularly. Yeah, Jesus is King. We get that. Let's move on. But I was thinking about it this week and reflecting a little bit on how certain concepts from Scripture have kind of aged out a bit and need to be interpreted, if you will, in new ways because the times have changed. One of the big ways in our readings for today, as I was mentioning with the kids, kind of surrounds the idea of kingship, right? For those of us who make our home here in the United States, I would say a central tenet of being an American is being anti-monarchy, you know? We're all about the Constitution and representative government and enfranchisement of the voters and all that stuff, representation of the people. And specifically, we see that is represented in democratic, you know, Republican systems that really do not jive well, at least didn't with the King of England, you know. And so what do we say about kings? How does kingship speak to us in our time and place? A couple hundred years into kind of getting rid of kings and going a different way. Now, you know, we could look back through history, and there were some pretty good kings. Many kings were heralded as liberators, right, and bringing truth and justice to their people. You know, you think of image. I know a lot of Scottish people who are very proud of their ancestry, right? And they'll, you know, speak strongly about Robert the Bruce, you know, liberating them from the yoke of British rule and all that. Well, any Scandinavians in the room probably have heard of Saint Olaf or King Olaf, who brought Christianity to the Scandinavian peoples, and so on and so forth. But you probably heard about some pretty terrible kings, too. Well, I was just thinking before church this morning about Ivan the Terrible, right? Who earned that name for good reason. He's pretty terrible, impaling people and doing all sorts of graphic things in Russia. Excuse me. You know, and there's, since I mentioned our, you know, United States breaking away from colonization in England, didn't have too many good things to say about King George. Or crazy King Louis, you might think about through the ages. Kings who had all this totalitarian power embodied with them. So through the movements of time and government, kings have kind of not looked so good to our earthly eyes. But a big reason for that is I think they not only embodied the totalitarianism of the power entrusted with them, but they embodied the totalitarian of human sin and brokenness. They were unable to rule in a way that is equitable, just, peaceful, and liberating for everyone. It's kind of just like a human fault, right? That with power comes oftentimes corruption and greed and desire to exploit people and keep them under your thumb and under your foot. Not so with Jesus. Jesus embodies a very different sort of kingship and lordship. And the image of kingship, I think, is still good, despite our any difficulties we might have thinking about that with our modern eyes. And specifically the totalitarianism of Jesus' rule. I know it's bad to say totalitarian, but really, that Jesus is king of every aspect of our lives. Is Lord, has sovereignty over our family relationships, has sovereignty over our city governments, our national governments, our international systems, has sovereignty over our business dealings, His sovereignty over our relationships, even our friendships. His sovereignty over creation, right? Rules over the mountains and the seas and all the inner workings of the ecosystems and all that. For Jesus to be a totalitarian ruler over our lives is a good thing. And we want Jesus to be concerned with all the little details, all the nitty-gritty of who we are as people. A big reason that that is a good thing is because Jesus does not rule by force, but governs through love. Love so powerful and so sincere that, as my three-year-old son profoundly came up with the right answer in a children's sermon, he was crowned with a crown of thorns, right? A crown of suffering on behalf of the world. A crown of suffering to redeem everyone for all time. And on Christ the King Sunday, the call is not to uplift this power that's going to rule and have dominion by forcing and killing and conquering and invading and all that sort of stuff, the way kings on earth do. But recognizing that Jesus' lordship is established in a profoundly different way. It is able to bring about true peace and true justice, true equity and true liberation, and ultimately genuine redemption, everlasting redemption for everyone. And that's something, if we put ourselves in a place of recognizing Jesus' lordship and trusting in that sovereign rule over our lives, we're all the better for it. That peace comes to us well ahead of Christ's second coming. That we can know that peace in a day-to-day kind of way. I was thinking about that as an experience 2 years ago now, or 2.5 years ago, I suppose. I was at a synod assembly over in Billings when all the Lutherans from across Montana and a couple churches in Wyoming get together to talk about, you know, the budget and what we should do for this upcoming year and anything we're working through as a church, stuff like that. And as I'm prone to do at these events, I talk with other pastors, and this other guy from Bozeman and I, we saddled up to the bar for a cold one because that's where the best theological conversation happens. And as we're getting together for that, there's this couple at the bar right next to us. This couple had been basically exiled from their home. They were refugees for a month, and they were making their way back. This couple was from Fort McMurray, Alberta. If you remember, 2 years ago, there was a massive wildfire that kicked up with little warning. And as I read back up on the fire, the fire started on May 1st, and by May 3rd, there was a call for evacuation of 88,000 people from their homes. This couple told me how they had to just leave everything and jumped on their Harley, which was a good idea because it got a lot better gas mileage. And they were able to go quite a bit further with that than other vehicles. And they said as they were leaving, the highway was just packed. It was kind of devastatingly amazing how they got to a certain point, a certain distance from where they were all fleeing, everybody together. And all these cars were just piled on the road because they had all run out of gas at about the same time within like a 10-mile stretch. Because they were on a motorcycle, they were able to go further. And it was beautiful at the same time for how people were driving back to cart the people who had to abandon their cars and, you know, take them further to safety from the flames. And this couple had friends down in Texas that they had driven all the way from Canada to the southern United States to take refuge with them for a month or so before they were able to return home. Their lives were up in total upheaval. They didn't know if their stuff was saved. Everything had burned. They didn't know, there were over 1,000, like over 3,000 buildings burned in this fire, right? Many of them homes just like theirs. everybody in their community had been dislocated and had to seek refuge from the flames. This couple was not, I think, particularly Christian or anything, but they did mention, and well, even though we were having cold ones, they did know that we were there as pastors and that we were obviously Christian. And relating their experience to us, they shared that the people in their communities who had the most hope, who were able to get through this terrible, dislocating experience together the best, were the Christians. That their faith kept them strong in times of great devastation. That their faith was so meaningful that when everything else in their lives was taken away from them, at least for the moment, that they could still have hope that everything would turn out all right. That's the kingdom of God breaking in to our world. That's the kingdom of God revealed in the lives and moments of hopelessness that so many people experience. And that's, for me, one of the benefits and power of trusting that God has everything together, some way, somehow. Because though I hope most of us don't experience wildfires like they did, there are all sorts of things that will be taken from us. Lives lost, property just up in smoke or whatever, right? Things that we think might be certain, things that we can hold on to in this world, might just slip from our grasp, leave us feeling lost and wandering and homeless and hopeless, right? But if our hope is in our true sovereign, Jesus Christ, who reigns in this world and the next, and will always bring about peace and love and harmony in our lives, some way, somehow, then that hope can carry us through even the most extreme times of loss and dislocation and trouble, and chaos and anxiety and all that stuff. Because Jesus' rule is total and good. And for that we give thanks today. May the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
I hope that you've enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.